Hey Shablaika, and welcome to our Tanya Definitions class. Last year we spoke about Emunah. We're getting to the end of Aleph. Hope today maybe we'll finish Aleph. Today we first is MS. So the way I've actually got two in inclusion two in not inclusions, what do you call it? To like in a dictionary, not insertions, whatever. I've got two times as real. I've written MS and MS Umatsius. So I'm gonna talk about MS in regards to Matsius, because these are two words. The way Rav Manis speaks about them, I've seen it in Rav Yoel Kahn's Sfarim a lot as well. He speaks in English about truth and fact. Has anyone heard his shiur on truth and fact? So in Hebrew, it's a massive yesod. It's really a massive yesod, and it's quite nuanced. It's a bit sophisticated, but hopefully we'll be matzliach, b'zvat Hashem. And in Hebrew, what he calls truth and fact, we call MS and Matzias, which is how it really is and how it appears. And in many circumstances, in most scenarios, they are not aligned with each other. When Matzias and MS are aligned with each other, that is really called Geula. Yeah. If MS, I know this doesn't make sense right now, but I'm just throwing this out. If MS overrides Matzias, that's called a nace. And if Matzias is neged the MS and the MS is not visible, that's called gullus. So what is MS and what is Matzias? Okay, so MS is, was, and will be. MS is constant. I mean, you see it. There's the famous vort that you've got the Aleph, the Mem, and the Taf, which is the middle, the beginning, the middle, and the end of the Aleph base. And then if you look at the way the Aleph and the Mem and the Taf is, the Aleph is with two legs, the Mem is with the flat base, the Taf is also two legs. They're very solid. Yeah, and they cover the whole thing from beginning to end. So MS is God is one. Shem Echad. That's MS. Does it appear that way? No. Matzias is that there's lots, there's many. But the MS is that Shem Echad. Another MS is that Yidden keep Torah mitzvahs. That's MS. The Metzius is that not all Yidden keep Torah mitzvahs. The MS is, now this is going to help us really understand it. The MS is that Am Yisrael needed to get to Har Sinai. The Metzius was there was a sea in their way. So what happened is the sea was machnia. It was how to say machnia? Subservient. What's the opposite of dominated? It was machnia itself. How to say that? Humbled itself.
Submit.
Maybe humbled itself. The sea humbled itself to the MS that the Yidden needed to get to Har Sinai. That's called a nace. That's called a nace. When the Metzius is not aligned, how do you say that? Not disaligned, unaligned. Doesn't make sense, does it? Not unaligned. When the emus is not aligned, what, sorry, when the Metsius is not aligned with the MS, yeah, then that's our work. Our work is to get the Metsius aligned with MS. MS is Am Yisrael need to be in Eretz Yisrael. MS is Yidden need to be doing Torah mitzvahs. MS is the base of Mikdash. MS is Mashiach Tchias. MS is Hashem Echad. MS is all these things that are not, they're non-negotiable in the Bria. But when we see that the Metzius isn't like that, now that's called Gullus. So bringing them aligned with each other, which means how it appears and how it actually is, yeah, that's the job of the Yidden. Bringing MS and Metzius together. Does that make sense, everyone? Bit. Maya, that makes sense to you? Yeah? Okay. Okay, I mean,
But
that's.
isn't MS almost always over? I mean, like you said in your example, MS, the Jews need to go to get the Torah at Har Sinai, and the Metzias is that the sea is in the way, right? So that was a nace. But so much that's going on is MS is overriding Metzias. So does that mean there's always a nace going on?
What do you mean, like where, in which context? I would say the opposite.
Why? MS is that Hashem is one.
Yeah, but we don't see that. The Metzius is that Hashem isn't one. The Metzius appears, the reality of the situation, the fact appears that Hashem isn't one. There's you, there's me, there's.
And that's Dallas. I got it. Okay.
So in the state that we're in right now, the appearance of the world is at odds with the truth of the world. Very soon, this idea of Hashem Echad, like we can't imagine, literally, we can't imagine what that would mean to be existing and to be utterly aware of the unity of reality. We can't, you know, maybe, I mean, I've had some cool experiences on psychedelics that you might think that you could imagine that because of that. I don't know. But we can't, we in a normal mindset, we can't fathom that. We can't fathom that. But that's the Metzius, the so that's the reality. The reality is, the truth is, not the reality, the truth is that Hashem Echad. But the fact, the apparent reality is that Hashem isn't Echad. But eventually truth will always overwhelm the Metzius. That's the claw. Eventually.
Which means there'll always be a nace.
Well, not meaning, no, because a nace is really where MS kind of pitomi, like suddenly overwhelms. Like if all the Yidden, it doesn't need to be a nace that all the Yidden over the next, say, 3 months, something happens, and by the end of the 3 months, all Yidden is Shomer Torah mitzvahs. That doesn't have to be like a nace, like as it, you know, like Kriyas Yamsuf kind of nace. But that would be the Metzius coming in line with the MS. Like when I made tshuva, yeah, when I started being Shomer Torah mitzvahs 25 years ago, yeah, that was a Metzius that was at odds with MS, moving itself in alignment with MS. The MS is that a Yid keeps Torah mitzvahs. That's the MS. There's only a Metzius of a Yid not keeping Torah mitzvahs. But the MS is the reality, mamash, is that a Yid keeps Torah mitzvahs. The reality is that Yidden live in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, the reality is that there's a base of Mikdash, and there's the Avodas of Kohanim, and that there's the Mashiach, and that all the Umos HaOlam are living in alignment with Ratzon Hashem, etc. Yeah, that's MS, and that will be eventually. That will be. So the whole you could define the purpose of this world as trying to get the Metzius aligned with the MS. I mean, that's what we've done. That's what I've done for the whole time. You know, Hashem, reveal me your MS and help me align myself with it. Help me be more MS. Just give me, you know, let me arise above the sheker that I'm part of, or that I'm deluded by, or however you want to say it. Pull me out of that. You could call that Metzius and bring me into your MS. That's our avoda. It's a very important idea. McClure? I agree. It's not, it's, I didn't tell you the idea. I told you around there. Let me just tell you something I learned from Pete Jordan Peterson just recently that's amazing, that fits in with this really. He's talking about the idea of if you see a little girl, yeah, anybody's got like 3, 4 year old girl here? Everyone's past that, no? Mary, you got a little girl? Yeah. So you see her holding a little dolly, like a little, you know, like a little dolly thing. And you'll notice she's holding the baby like perfectly, the way that mum is hold the baby, yeah. And then she's got her phone like in her, you know, you can't see because of my beard. She's got her phone like this, and she's jiggling the baby, yeah? And she's pushing the shopping cart, and then she puts the baby down, and she's really acting like a mother. And you'll say to her, like, "What are you doing?" And she'll say, "Well, I'm playing mummy." And she'll say, and you'll say to her, "So what does that involve?" And you'll see if she's a young girl, she won't really be able to say much about it at all. But she can act it out to the T amazingly. You guys know what I'm talking about? This is an amazing idea because this gives us a huge Pesach into Chazal, an amazing idea into Chazal. I realized this before. I actually learned it. I learned it from Adin Steinsaltz Zatzal, in the 13 Petal Rose. He mentioned it, but Peterson clarified it for me. That it's a Jewish idea. Chazal didn't describe. They didn't describe. They didn't describe stuff. Can't think of a better way to say that. Chazal gave mashalim. So instead of describing an idea and trying to actually delineate it, yeah, they gave you the mashal.
I got a ton.
That's the, yeah. In lots of, but they didn't describe things to you, because a description by definition is going to be less accurate than an analogy, meaning a description is always not what it is. An analogy actually shows you what it is. So just to make it very relevant, is you meet a wonderful a tzaddik. You meet a real tzaddik, yeah. Now, you could try and describe him to people. And you could try and describe him to yourself. But you'll always be chaser in understanding. Whereas if you spend time with him and you observe him, how he interacts with people, how he holds himself, how he speaks, etc., all of these things, then you couldn't pinpoint, you couldn't describe it, but you know it. It's like how you know your children. Yeah, you can't tell someone about your kid. You say, well, he's like this, he's like that. You're giving them a teeny tip of an iceberg. But you know your child. How do you know your child? Because you've seen your child in this situation, in this situation, in this situation, in this situation. And they act like this here, and they act like that there, and they act like this here, and they act like that there. And you piece together inside you an understanding of the person which transcends words and descriptions. You with me? Does that make sense? That's a little bit like what we're with Emerson and Matthias. The way we're describing this is we were really kind of beating around the bush. We didn't really say what it is. I just gave as many analogies as I could to try and give you a Pesach in, because it's really, we're talking about the foundation of reality. MS is what reality is, so you can't really describe that. All you can do is say that it's eternal, etc., and then give examples of what that is. So it's a very interesting way of dealing with concepts that are beyond us, and that is really the concept of the story. So you've got the hero, and you've got the story. So, for example, the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the paradigmatical, perfect story of redemption, of Galus and Geula. It couldn't be any better. There's the tyrannical king, there's the oppressed people, there's the savior, the failed savior. There's the people have to go into the desert. It's like everything in the story is just the perfect, and you're seeing yourself if you've had a geula, if you've had a personal geula, it will match the story of Mitzrayim if you penetrate in beyond the names, beyond the words, beyond the characters as they appear. And you'll realize that there's the hero, there's the villain, there's the followers, there's the leader, there's the time of uncertainty, there's the time of victory, there's all of this stuff, and it's all told as a story, basically. All told as a story. Okay. Base. Wow, that's taken mamash a long time to get through Aleph. I just want to quickly say what we did for Aleph. Aleph, we did Ivrin de Malka. Then we did Arvas Hashem, which was a massive thing. We went for all the different Arvas, Arva Rab, Arvas Olam, Kabbara, Nafshi V'Sicha. Yeah, and then some other ones as well. Arva Mesuteres, Kamayim Panim Panim, Ava Azak Rish Be'esh, Ava Mesuteres B'moicha V'talum Mois. Yeah. Then after we finished Ava, then we went into Oraisa B'kutcha Baruch Hu Kol Echad. Then we did Achdusay V'Yichudo Yeshem. Yeah, Achdus Hashem. Then Achorayim, the Elohim Acherim. And then we did Ish Yisrael, which was a whole shiur in itself, went through all the different kinds of Jews there are. Then last week we did Emunah, and now we just did MS. And now we start base. Oh, well, it's so funny. We're talking about what we did last week. We'll say it again. So the first word in base is begadim, but I wrote a little note under it, see levushim. So we'll get to that in Lamed. Okay, bittul. What's bittul? So you'll notice if you've, as some of you have been with me for a long time, that I very rarely use the word bittul. I try my hardest not to use that word because it's got so many kind of negative connotations to it. And it's really like the most positive word that I know, but it's just it doesn't have that, because when taken simply, the immediate response from people is, well, you've just become a doormat. That's what bittul means. Bittul means you're a doormat. Bittul means you just put your head down, you've lost all individuality, you let people walk all over you, And you're just basically nothing. Yeah, that's
Heilige Schmatter.
yeah, but it's that's not right. It's like that word schmatter is not, because a person whose bottle, I mean, like, say it like this, you could say it like this. You would think that someone whose bottle, he wouldn't say something to someone who said something incorrect. Who am I to say something to, that guy stepped out of line, he said something incorrect. But bittel really means, who are you to not say something to him? Who are you to not stand up to that person? Who are you to not pick up the trash? Who are you to not rise to the occasion? Who are you to not take responsibility for your life? Who are you to not become the unbelievable hero that you were created to be? That's what bittel means. It doesn't mean who are you to say something, or who are you to assume you can serve God, or if it's the exact opposite, who are you to assume that you're not, that you can't serve God? Who are you to allow yourself to just become, buried in your negative thoughts? That's what bittel is. Bittel just means in the most basic, I suppose, most profound sense of the word, it just means moving from a self-centered universe to a God-centered universe. It's like, and it makes a lot of sense that the earth goes around the sun when you understand that the sun is a moshul for the Shekhinah. Yeah. So see, in the original, what was it called? Not eccentric. What's it called? Centric. Merk, you look up the word when the heat is it heliocentric, when the earth is the center of the universe?
Having or representing the sun as a center, as in the acceptable astronomical model of the solar system.
Is called what?
Heliocentric.
Heliocentric. Well, what's the one when the earth is the center? Yeah, heliocentric is the one when the sun is the way that modern science understands the universe as it is.
Geocentric.
Geocentric, I thought so. Okay. So you've got geocentric. Basically, bittel means moving from a geocentric reality to a heliocentric reality in the moshul. Meaning moving from thinking that you're the center of the universe to understanding that you are a detail in God's reality. As we've said it many times, moving from God being a detail in your reality to you being a detail in God's reality. That's what bittel means. And then that means that when you get that straight, you are now, I mean, you are a vital cog in the system. So who on earth are you to not pull your weight? Who on earth are you to not be absolutely fabulous and unique and powerful and resourceful and confident? Because you can't do anything without confidence. You don't believe you can do it, you can't do anything. So part of bittel means to have confidence. That's so ironic. Because everyone just thinks bittel is you become this like zombie, this, like you shall me robot going woo, 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 with no sense of self whatsoever, and no sense of responsibility.
You have to be a yesh to become an iron. If you're not a yesh, you have to be the ultimate yesh to become the ultimate iron.
What do you mean by that, Eddie?
The ultimate version of Shmuel, or Rabbi Shmuel, whatever you want to be called, and to then become the ultimate Heilige Schmata that serves Hashem.
So, yeah, exactly. That's the point, is you need to become the perfect cog. Yeah, Michael.
It's putting the emphasis on essential rather than cog. If we're an essential cog, people will focus on cog. I'm only a cog. But if you put the emphasis on essential, yes, you're a cog, but you're essential and you're needed.
Very good. Beautiful. Beautiful. Perfect. Yeah. That is the point. You are essential in God's plan. You are an essential ingredient in God's plan. So who are you to not become everything that you could become and more? It's like giving oh yeah, I got a good story. A client of mine, a very, very wealthy guy, he bought his dad, and the guy is probably my age, and he bought his dad, who was already an elderly man, he went to buy his dad a camera. His dad was like into photography, yeah. So this guy's got loads and loads of money. So what did he do? He bought him like a top level Hasselblad camera. Basically, I'm like this top photographer, yeah, and you've got this old man with a camera worth three times the price of my camera, had no idea it was on the green thing, and he just did, it was so embarrassing for me that this guy had a, you know, had a camera that was three times the value of my camera. Wait a minute, I got over that. But the point was that's a bizarre. I saw another thing actually, also another time when in a similar kind of thing where I was in a fancy house in Yerushalayim, and on the kitchen table was my camera, yeah. And I was like, well, who got the camera? So look, one of the kids was like, my mum bought it for me. And I'm like, wow, that's a really good camera, you know. And she's like, yeah, whatever. I just put it on the green thing because I don't understand all the stuff, yeah. So I'm like, that's the bizarre. Imagine buying, you know, that's a bizarre to get such a piece of equipment. I'm not judging these people. They got a lot of money, so they just wanted to get the best thing. But I'm just, the idea is, you know, it's like someone giving you a Bugatti and you just drive it at 20 miles per hour to the grocery shop every day. Yeah, it will eventually give way. It will start to disintegrate. That's the same with us as well. If we're not mummish, just digging so deep in every way to just pull out our to just to shine. Not for me. Give me, like I've always said, just give me a pair of really healthy lungs, yeah, an endless packet of cigarettes, and you know, a can, you know, a few cans of Coke, and I'll sit there, I'll be fine forever. But we're the whole point of this self-improvement is it's not really self-improvement. It's really tikkun olam. It's a bad way of calling it self-improvement because that's like, well, I'm fixing myself. But we've just established that you are, if you want to go with what Michael said, you're just a cog. You're an essential cog. So the perfection of yourself is not about having a good cog. That's silly. It's about a healthy machine. So your self-perfection, your bringing yourself to the highest level you can bring yourself to is in context of the machine.
Well, I'm sorry, it's not clicking with me. I don't understand what, how is it that when, if usually people feel they're self-centered, it's all about them. So that is, to me, that would be more inspiring if it's about them. Once they realize it's not about them, how is that more inspiring to get them part of the system? What's the change there?
Why do you think it's more inspiring when it's about you?
I just, well, if it's about me, I want to get things more accomplished. I want to accomplish more because it's about me. Once it's not about me, then why would I want to accomplish? I guess in that sense.
Well, you could say it like this. If you, I mean, what are you? Sof ko sof, how big are you? How eternal are you? You're very small, you're very mortal, you're very temporary. Yeah. You know, it's like I look at these people who have built these perfect bodies. You know, I know one guy who goes to the gym like 2.5 hours a day. And he's built this just absolutely perfect body. And in a few years, it's just gonna be it's, you know. I mean that takes a certain kind of short-sightedness to put so much time. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a nice body, I'm not saying that you can't invest time into your body, but to invest so much time into your body that's such a temporary thing, that's a bit when you move your perspective to realizing that you're a chalik of the big picture, And it's not just that the machine is separate places, is in what's the word? It has a unity in space. It also has a unity in time. So you got these, you have these massive ant hills. Yeah, we've spoken about these, like these ant, there's this termite called the Bellicose termite. Yeah, I've given Shirim on this. It's most fascinating what these guys build. But they build these unbelievable structures that actually take well over a year to build. Well over. And each termite only lives about 30 days. So not only do you have a million termites, 1.5 million termites working in perfect unity, unison, putting their little pellet of mud in the exact right place and doing their little job and all working as one cohesive whole, Alpi Muckum, but Alpi Zman as well. It's intergenerational. You've got these guys, the guys who first begin, they're not even going to have the foundations built by the time they start dying. But so what? Because they've moved their perspective from me to the big picture. And that's the inyan of the tzaddik. What's the word we use? What's the code word? There's a few code words for tzaddik. What's one of the code words for tzaddik? Do we say shachris in the morning? Go on, Lazy, you should get this.
No pressure.
Yeah, no, there is. There's a lot of pressure, actually.
Not for me.
Not for you, no, for Eliezer.
Yeah.
In fact, I couldn't think of any more pressure.
I think he's looking it up.
We say the code word for tzaddik that we say every morning is, yeah, in Vavreich David, yeah, we go through the spheres basically. Lecha Hashem Hagdula, that's Chesed,
Hi, it's
Hagvura, Hatiferes, Vanetzach, Vahoid, Kikol, B'Shemayim Uvaoretz. Lecha Hashem Hamamlocha, that's kol is a kaf lamed is a code word for yesod, which is tzaddik. Just interestingly enough, actually, the Arizal says, I saw this just recently, what's another word for malchus? Oh, there's loads of words for malchus. Kala. Lechadoidi. Likras kala. Kala is the feminine version of kol. Kikol, exactly. Kol is yesod. But kol is yesod, and kala, kaf lamed hey, is malchus. So kol, that's a side point anyway, but kol is the inyan of the tzaddik. Not only does he see himself as a cog in the machine on a level of space, he sees himself as a cog in the machine on the level of Zman. You with me? Meaning it's intergenerational. And that's really the story in the Gemara. Do you remember the story in the Gemara in Tinus with Honi Amagel? He met somebody who was planting a tree, a carob tree. And he said, "Why are you planting a carob tree? It takes like 70 years for it to mature." He said, "I'm doing it for my great grandson," or something like that. That's a real bittle, is understanding that you're not just one in the big picture of the machine right now, but that machine expands through time, and you're also one in the sense of that. So Yitzi, the answer to the question, I think, is that when you pull yourself out of your teeniness of yourself and you become enmeshed in the big picture, which is the tzaddik, which is kol, yeah, now you're like, look what you're working for. Before you were working for this tiny little temporary gnat, and now you're working for infinite, endless perfection. That should inspire you a little bit more, no?
Where did the word bittul go haywire? What, when did it, why do you never want to use it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, just look, I mean, we've spoken a lot just now. This is bittul, like these ideas are not quick, simple ideas, yeah? So you hear the word bittul, you translate it as nullification. The guy is null and void, nebuch. He's just a schmutter. He's a piece of dirt on the floor. But it's not like that at all. Like a parent who is bottled to his role as a parent, yeah? He will take an iron hand against his child who's chutzpahdik to him. I don't mean to hurt the child, chas v'shalom, but I mean, if a child is chutzpahdik to a parent and your bottle, you have an absolute chiyuv to teach your child that that's not acceptable. So, however, you're going to do that, you have to do that. It's the arrogant parent who lets the kid get away with it. How dare you let the kid talk you like that? Who do you think you are to abdicate your responsibility of being mechanech your child? What gaiva that your kid insults you like that and you sit there and smile? That's a chutzpah. And that's a gaiva to feel that you're not chayav to fulfill your role in being mechanech your child. You can't let your child speak to his parent like that. It's not about you. Forget you. I don't care that you are all upset and embarrassed. But you, who are you to allow your child to not learn this lesson that they can't? That they can't speak to their parent like that. That's gaiva. So it comes out that gaiva, in this situation, gaiva would be the parent who kind of puts his head down and goes, well, you know. And humble or bottle would be the parent who says, Chas v'shalom, how dare you speak to your parent like that? How dare you speak to your father like that? You go to your bedroom right now and you wait until I tell you you can come out of your bedroom. Finished. That's bittul.
In the face of it, it's the exact opposite. It's just funny how you lay it out. It's so trippy.
But you hear it, yeah? Is that that's what I'm trying to say? That's the whole point, is that bittul means who are you to not take responsibility? Who are you to not stand up to Ra? Who are you to not be confident? Who are you to have these negative thoughts? Who are you to think lowly of yourself? Sorry, Mayor, yeah, I see a platzing. Go on.
No, it's, I mean, Lahavdil, at the beginning of the Megillah, that's the reason that the advisors gave to Achashverosh to kill Vashti. No, he didn't want to kill her necessarily, but they said you have to do it on behalf of all men, so that to prove the point that you're just you're representative of others, and we have to make a point of her. Just saying, it's this. I think it's the same logic. I'm not.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, Guyver can chant. Guyver can wear the lavouche of anything. You know, I was just trying to demonstrate a point. You know, the Guyver dicker parent can also turn around to the kids.
I'm not trying to negate it by bringing this example, but it's a clear example of exactly what you're saying. Whatever.
On the other side,
On the other side.
yeah, no, everything. But I'm that. But what I'm trying to draw out is this: the idea of bittul is not that you're nothing, it's that you're nothing.
It.
It's the same thing, but we're saying that you're, like I said, it would be like, who am I to say something to that man who's speaking Lashon Hara? Or you could say, well, who am I to not say something to that man who's speaking Lashon Hara? It's like you don't want to say something to him. So what? You have a chiyuv right now. I'm just making up the example. You have a chiyuv right now to say something to him. How dare you abdicate your responsibility? That's what bittul is. Bittul is, and so with bittul, you actually become the most unique, the most actualized, the most confident, that it's literally the opposite of what the basic word of bittul means. But it's a hezbir. There has to be a perush that goes along with it. Is it clear, Mike? Is this clear?
I don't have it 100%,
Well, can
but
you
we're getting
what you're
closer.
not can you articulate what you're not clear about?
I mean, it makes sense. Some of it makes sense to me, like, okay, somebody's acting out, whether it be a child, a student, somebody I know, a friend, maybe even that I'm close enough with. And so I don't want to reprimand them because who am I to reprimand them?
Exactly.
But then you're saying, no. I have to reprimand them because it's not about me. It's about a bigger picture. It's about God. And therefore, who am I not to do that? It's not about me. And therefore, I have to reprimand.
If that's what the case demands, if that's what the situation demands from you,
Okay.
that demands a confidence, that demands a surety in yourself. So bittul in that context needs a confidence that you've read the halacha, you know the halacha, you realize this what this guy just said was really out of order, and now you need to tell him so. So that's a bittul that needs to come with a real confidence. Just the word bittul itself just smacks of pathetic meekness and just patheticness. Do you know what I'm saying?
And also, you keep saying that, we have to be the best version of ourselves, not for us, you're saying. It's not for us.
Exactly.
That's the bittle.
That's the bittul, is I'm striving to be fantastic because you need me, Rabbeinu Shlom, to be fantastic. And now I've got a real reason to be fantastic. Because if I'm not feeling like it, then I, you know, but now I've got a real reason to be absolutely fantastic. Is because why? Because Rabbeinu Shlom, you need me to be fantastic. You created me to be fantastic, and in your infinite, fantastic humility, you actually put the car keys in my hands. Well, who am I to let you down? Who am I to be running on four cylinders when I'm 12 cylinders? Who am I to not be, you know, to not be, you know, who am I to be sleeping 6 hours when I only need 5 hours sleep? What a wasted hour. Rachmanis. Add that up over a week. You lost a whole day of work. Seven, that's just in a week. Work. You know what I've been doing this year? What my little project is? I've been learning Tanya, yeah? I mean, I learned Tanya all the time. But what I've been doing is I split the Tanya. You can see, if you see here, it says 4A. Yeah, and then I divided it up into like days, like 4A, 4B, 4C. Yeah, it's about a page and a half, one blot and a half. And basically after Shachris every day, sorry, after Shachris Mincha Maariv, I sit there and for about 3 to 4 minutes, maybe maximum 5 minutes, I say that little chelik of Tanya. I'm going to be Messiah Tanya 13 times this year. At the end of this year, I have another Seder as well. So 12 each, Bezrat Hashem, Bezrat Hashem. So far I'm on track. I'm not going to lose any time from my schedule. Do you know how many times after davening, I could potentially have a 5 minute schmooze with somebody as I'm walking out of shul. So instead now I just sit. First, it's hard when you finish davening mincha, yeah? All you want to do is get back out, back to work, you know, you're in the middle of your day, whatever it is, yeah? To sit there for an extra three and a half, 4 minutes, that's hard. Now I'm like become accustomed to it after half a year. Yeah, I did with pig hours last year. So without actually adding losing any time to my schedule, I'm going to be doing huge chazaras on Sefer Tanya, and that's the idea of like that's using the time that the Rabbeinu Shem gave you. That's just one example. I'm just you know I'm sure you've got your own examples as well. But make it like who are you to not use the time that he gave you correctly? I'm talking to myself here because even though I use my time there, in other ways I'll waste time. So again, that's the bittul. Who are you to not actualize yourself? Who are you to not become absolutely mind-bendingly, inspirationally amazing? Why you don't have that privilege to do what you want. You have been You are expected, the Rabboni expects you to become fantastic. You're battle, so now you have to do that. Okay, so that was Bittul. Well, a little bit of Bittul. We'll carry on with Bittul next week, as off the show. Okay, Shkoyach.